Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Stocks pair a sell-off in the wake of a surge in Treasury yields.
Bank of America and Morgan Stanley prepare to report earnings.
The 5G rollout disrupts flights around the world.
And the White House looks to rein in the nation's biggest tech companies.
Rudy Giuliani is among other Trump lawyers subpoenaed in the Capitol riot probe. Plus, COVID cases are falling in New Jersey. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Second day in a row, a Knicks home loss. Minnesota won by two. The Islanders won in a shootout.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning, rebounding from a sharp sell-off overnight, coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 64, NASDAQ futures up 66. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.05%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%, up $1.31 at $86.74 a barrel. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $41,600. Nathan.
No, Karen, it is all about the markets this morning. Stock futures are rebounding after a sharp drop overnight. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, NASDAQ futures fell as much as 1% overnight. Right now, they're up 0.4%. For investors, Fed rate hikes are baked into the cake starting in March. And now there's speculation the central bank will deliver more than a quarter percentage point hike at that meeting. A more hawkish Fed weighing on stocks, especially tech shares lately. The NASDAQ 100 sank 2.6% yesterday. From its November peak, the tech-heavy index has fallen 9.6%, just shy of a correction. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. We saw the U.S. sell-off spread to Asia overnight. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell for a fifth session, its longest losing streak since March. Japanese equities led the decline as the topics closed lower by almost 3%. Sony shares fell the most since October 2008 after news that its rival Microsoft plans to buy Activision Blizzard for $68.7 billion. Shares of some other Asian game-related stocks climbed amid speculation on further industry M&A. Chinese developers also rose in Hong Kong after the PBOC pledged to use more monetary policy tools to aid the economy and ease credit stress. And bonds in New Zealand and Australia joined the global rout. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. It's a different picture in Europe this morning where early losses have flipped to gains. Let's go to London and get the details live from Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Max, what's the latest?
Yes, Nathan, turning more positive as we get through the European session today. The Stock 600 up 0.3% right now. Yields remain in focus here too. We had the 10-year German Bund yield turn positive for the first time since 2019 today, yielding just 0.002%. So just in positive territory right now. In terms of the Stock 600 industry groups, it's retail really powering a lot of the gains today. The biggest mover to the upside among the industry groups. Richemont, the biggest mover in terms of stocks. Swiss luxury goods company that with strong third quarter sales. Other companies, Burberry, Swatch, Moncler, also doing very well so far this morning. Live in London, I'm Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. Well, inflation is also front and center in Europe. Prices in the UK unexpectedly surged at the fastest pace in 30 years. Consumer prices rose at an annual rate of 5.4% in December. That adds pressure to the Bank of England to raise interest rates again next month.
And when it comes to the pandemic in the UK, Karen, it looks like COVID restrictions could be lifted soon. Prime Minister Boris Johnson will reportedly announce the lifting of rules in England today. That's according to the Financial Times, which says work from home guidance and the use of COVID passes are expected to end.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, bank earnings continue to roll in. Bank of America and Morgan Stanley reporting results this morning. And we get a preview from Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak.
Most of the big banks have reported earnings, and what it's shown is that trading is falling below expectations, and the consumer is not jumping back as fast as expected. We'll look for both of those figures today when Morgan Stanley, the biggest stock trading shop on Wall Street, reports earnings at a tough time for equities trading, and Bank of America reports earnings with the consumer in mind. I'm Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Shanali, thanks. Outside of Wall Street, airlines are in focus this morning. The rollout of 5G wireless in the U.S. is disrupting flight schedules around the world. Bloomberg's Renita Young has the latest live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Airlines fear if 5G services are too close to airports, they could interfere with key safety systems. So they're adjusting their schedules. British Airways has canceled a handful of flights to the U.S. Dubai's Emirates is suspending routes to several U.S. cities, including Chicago, Newark, and San Francisco. And Japanese carriers are also dropping routes and will not fly some jets to and from the U.S. mainland. Airlines are concerned about possible interference with navigation equipment that's used during landings in poor weather. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. At the White House this week, big tech is in focus. The Biden administration is looking at how to rein in the nation's biggest tech companies through bipartisan legislation. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the White House is planning a meeting this week to discuss curbing the dominance of Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and Meta. Critics of the tech giants, along with representatives of smaller digital firms, will be there as the White House gauges support for this antitrust measure, sponsored by Senators Amy Klobuchar and Chuck Grassley. But the big tech companies say that could harm their products that are popular with consumers. The bill could go before the Senate Judiciary Committee as early as tomorrow. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And on Capitol Hill, Senate Democrats have taken up voting rights legislation, but Republicans are expected to block a final vote. Democratic Congresswoman Haley Stevens says it's all about politics, and that needs to change.
We need seriousness back in the halls of Washington. We need connectivity to the people we represent, the issues that are important to them, and solution making, not 24/7 politicking.
Congresswoman Haley Stevens spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. It airs weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio, and a rare news conference from President Biden's coming up this afternoon. We'll have that for you live later today on Bloomberg Radio. And right now it's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 32 degrees in Central Park. We've got an accident on the southbound Taconic at the Springbrook in Hawthorne. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. In the January 6th House Committee, they have moved its investigation process to Trump supporters who tried to undo the election. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
It has now subpoenaed attorneys Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, and Jenna Ellis. They were the main focus of the legal teams trying to get the election overturned. In Giuliani's case, urging state legislators to overturn voting results and spreading misinformation regarding the election results themselves, then leading to the January 6th insurrection attempt. Committee Chair Benny Thompson says in the efforts to subvert the system, they were in direct contact with Donald Trump. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York's attorney general asked a judge to order Donald Trump and two of his adult children to testify under oath as part of the state civil probe into the family real estate business. AG Letitia James says investigators have already uncovered a pattern of potential fraudulent asset valuations. A New York City police officer was wounded in the Bronx last night while apprehending a 16-year-old suspect with a gun. Police say there was a scuffle over the gun. It went off, and both the officer and the suspect were shot in the leg. Both have non-life-threatening injuries and were brought to the hospital. Mayor Eric Adams at the hospital commented on a surge of gun violence in the city.
One officer shot is one officer too many. One civilian shot is one civilian too many. Our city must be safe. That's the promise I made, and that's the promise I'm going to keep.
Meanwhile, Mayor Adams admits even he doesn't feel safe on the city's subway system. Adams' comments come after a woman was pushed to her death in front of a New York City subway train at Times Square over the weekend. The victim, 40-year-old Michelle Goh, did volunteer work for the homeless. Goh had ties to the San Francisco area, and a vigil was held there for her last night. A statement was read from Goh's family.
We hope Michelle will be remembered for how she lived and not just how she died. She was a beautiful, brilliant, kind, and intelligent woman who loved her family and friends, love to travel the world and to help others.
The NYPD says the man accused of push and go is homeless and emotionally disturbed. New Jersey is now seeing a decline in COVID case rates, and Teaneck, they're seeing hospitalizations drop. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Good one at the Garden. Knicks trailed the Timberwolves by 12 in the first half. Big 40-point third quarter led by Evan Fournier's three-point shooting. The Knicks went up by 9. Minnesota then trailed by 1 in the final minute.
Shot clock is down to 10. Bounce pass, Towns, top of the key, against Julius Randle. Takes a dribble, left-handed, down the lane, up off glass, counted for 2. Towns puts the Wolves up 110-109 with 29.3 seconds left.
T-Wolves radio, Fournier and Alec Burks missed shots on the Knicks' final possession, and Minnesota won 112-110, so two home losses in 2 days. Drops the Knicks back under 500. Fournier scored 27 points, Julius Randle at 21, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 block shots. Kemba Walker returned after missing 9 games with a knee injury. He got hot in the fourth quarter, finished with 19. It was not a great game for R.J. Barrett. He had 7 turnovers. The Islanders won only 5 of their first 20 games. They've won 5 of their last 6. They've reached 500. A 4-3 win at Philadelphia to sweep the home-and-home. The Flyers' 9th loss in a row. The game went to a shootout. There were 17 consecutive misses before Oliver Wahlstrom in the 9th round scored the game winner for the Islanders. Rangers back home tonight for Toronto. Mika Zibanejad won the fan vote to get to play in the All-Star game, but decided not to play. Personal reasons. College hoops, Duke lost in overtime at Florida State. Iona won in overtime at Monmouth, now 15-3. Losses for Fordham in Manhattan. Rafael Nadal won his second round match at the Australian Open. So did Naomi Osaka and the women's top seed, Ash Barty. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Futures adding to their gains now with S&P futures up 12 points. Dow futures up 74. NASDAQ futures are higher by 63 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mix of sun and clouds today and a high near 45 degrees. Overnight, wintry mess. Temperatures fall through tomorrow. By Friday, we'll only get up to the low 20s. Currently 32 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning after reversing earlier losses. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 60, NASDAQ futures up 46, the DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.88%, the yield on the 2-year 1.05%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1% or 97 cents at $86.40 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $6.20 at $18.1860 an ounce. The euro 1.1345 against the dollar, British pound 1.3640, and the yen is at 114.51. Bitcoin moving lower at $42,000. Today we are watching for reports on housing starts and building permits out at 8:30 Wall Street time, and Morgan Stanley and Bank of America are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The House Committee investigating the U.S. Capitol riot has subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani and other members of Donald Trump's legal team who filed legal challenges to the 2020 election. The list includes Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will meet with his Russian counterpart in Switzerland this week as tensions between the U.S. and Russia escalate over a possible Russian invasion of Ukraine. Blinken arrived in Kiev today to meet with President Volodymyr Zelensky. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout against the Flyers 4-3. The Capitals won. The Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get an update on the pandemic now as we continue to track the Omicron variant and efforts to fight it. Dr. Stuart Ray is with us this morning, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Doctor, good morning. I'd like to get an update from you on where you think the Omicron pandemic is going at this point, when we've seen pretty dramatic drops in cases and hospitalizations, particularly in New York City and other parts of the Northeast over the past day or so.
Yes, good morning. It's looking better in areas that were hit first with this wave. We're still seeing rises in hospitalizations and deaths in many areas, and we probably haven't seen the worst of it in areas that it arrived later, but I think we're definitely seeing a turn for the better in many areas.
What are you looking for when it comes to how this pandemic could play out from here? Are you concerned about future variants?
I am. I think that a lot of immunity has been built up through vaccination and through some infections. Obviously, at a tremendous cost. We have a couple thousand people in America dying every day from this virus. So it's been a costly effort, but we're getting a level of immunity that may prevent future big waves of hospitalizations and deaths. We're going to have to see whether the immunity from Omicron really translates to broad immunity and whether a new variant might arise from somewhere which is much different. And, you know, the possibility is always there that the next one could result in severe disease. I think the hope that everyone has is that it'll become milder if it evolves again. But most people have transmitted the virus before they develop severe disease. So the link between severe disease and transmission probably isn't one we can count on.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the effect of Omicron infection on future infection. We've gotten more studies. I think there was one just yesterday from South Africa that suggested that an Omicron infection can protect against Delta, which I think we've seen is a much more severe strain compared to Omicron. Is that a reason to, for some hope that the widespread spread of Omicron could get us closer to that endemic phase?
Yes, I think that it does suggest that we're going to have less severe disease in the future in people who've had the infection or who have been vaccinated. The challenge is that we don't know that the next one will be similar enough. And basically, we may be boxing the virus into a corner where its next evolutionary step might require that it be antigenically different enough that it can evade some of this immunity. It's really something that we're going to have to learn. And fortunately, we have a bunch of tools available to us, like rapid testing and high-quality masks and other things that can help mitigate any variant that might come along if it spreads.
To that point, we got the rollout of the new free at-home testing website from the Postal Service yesterday, and we're also hearing this morning that the White House is going to announce a plan to make 400 million N95 masks available for free at pharmacies. What kind of impact could those steps have?
Well, I'm hoping this gives some people a chance to sort of dip their toe in the water with tools that they might not have used much, or make them more available to people who really were motivated but couldn't access them. It's not enough of these things to really cover the need, but it certainly will give people a chance to try these things and get some comfort with them and prepare for any eventualities that might come up. We're all hoping that we're seeing the beginning of the end here, but it's still some risk that we'll see more trouble in the future. We're just trying to have tools in hand to manage what comes.
In our last minute here, Doctor, how much longer do you think we're going to need to deploy these tools, these public health measures that many of us, the majority of us, I think, have been trying to put in place over the last almost 2 years now?
Well, I'm hoping that within a few months, we're going to have a lot less of this widespread infection, and then people can begin really paying attention to local rates and their own susceptibility and the susceptibility of people around them. And so I'm hoping that we can begin much more targeted interventions. An endemic phase doesn't mean it won't cause a lot of death and illness. just means that it'll become a more predictable pattern. I'm hoping that we can use these tools to really lower that rate during endemic phase to low levels of complications for people.
Just quickly, do you think it could happen this year?
With what?
The return to an endemic phase, or the move to an endemic phase, at least.
Well, I think it could become more predictable this year, but then we could have outbreaks. It's like influenza at that point, where a new genetic change could cause disruption.
All right. Thanks, as always, Dr. Stuart Ray of the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine with us this morning. Stay with us. Just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to get more on the markets, Fed bets, and airlines grappling with the 5G rollout as we check the five things you need to know to start your day. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at IBKR.com/compare. Up first, it's all about the markets this morning. Stock futures falling sharply overnight, but they're now rebounding. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Benchmark Treasury yields look poised to surge past 2%. Traders are betting the Federal Reserve could go for a supersized rate hike in March. Higher yields weighing on stocks, especially tech stocks lately. The NASDAQ down almost 10% from its November high. Now, that would be a correction. Now, investors still wondering if the sell-off has gone too far. Overnight, the NASDAQ futures fell as much as 1%, and now they're up 18 points. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And, John, investors will also be paying close attention to bank earnings. Morgan Stanley and Bank of America report before the opening bell after disappointing trading results yesterday from Goldman Sachs.
Looking to the skies now, Nathan, the rollout of 5G wireless service in the U.S. is disrupting airline flight schedules around the world. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Airlines fear if 5G services are too close to airports, they could interfere with key safety systems. So they're adjusting schedules. British Airways has canceled a handful of flights to the U.S. Dubai's Emirates is suspending routes to several U.S. cities, including Chicago, Newark, and San Francisco. And Japanese carriers are also dropping routes and will not fly some jets to and from the U.S. mainland. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Some news out of Washington this morning. The Biden administration's exploring ways to rein in the nation's biggest tech companies, possibly through antitrust legislation. Bloomberg News has learned the White House will meet this week with critics of big tech. A bill in the Senate could limit the dominance of companies like Google, Apple, Amazon, and Meta.
And on Capitol Hill, Nathan, Senate Democrats are poised to hand President Biden another defeat. Lawmakers have taken up voting rights legislation that has very long odds. Republicans are opposed to the measure and expected to block a final vote on it. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures this morning moving higher. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up 28 as well. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 33 degrees in Central Park, now dealing with a couple accidents on the southbound Taconic. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr, what else is going on in New York and around the world?
Thank you very much, Nathan. A New York City police officer was injured in the Bronx last night while apprehending a 16-year-old suspect with a gun. After a scuffle, the gun went off. Both the officer and the suspect were shot in the leg, and they will recover. Mayor Eric Adams rushed to the hospital to thank police officers for the arrest. Adams called for reforming laws involving gun crimes.
Anytime there's a gun involved, we have to look at that in a serious fashion. And now we're not doing that.
Meanwhile, Mayor Adams would retain mayoral control of the city's schools for 4 years in a budget proposal unveiled by Governor Kathy Hochul. If approved by the state legislature, the oversight of city schools would strengthen a partnership between Hochul and Adams in their early days in office. The House committee investigating the U.S. Capitol riot has subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani and other members of Donald Trump's legal team who filed legal challenges to the 2020 election. The panel is demanding information and testimony from Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell. The New York Attorney General's office says its civil investigation has uncovered evidence that former President Trump's company used fraudulent or misleading asset valuations to get loans and tax benefits. In a court filing last night, Attorney General Letitia James's office said evidence showed that the Trump Organization routinely misrepresented the value of its properties and golf clubs in financial statements. Later today, Senate Democrats will try to vote on changing the filibuster rule to pass two voting rights bills. The filibuster change will almost certainly fail, but it's not stopping Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer from forcing the vote.
On something as important as voting rights, if Senate Republicans are going to oppose it, they should not be allowed to sit in their office. They got to come down on the floor and defend their opposition.
Republicans insist there is nothing to fix despite GOP states passing new voting laws. New Jersey is now seeing a decline in COVID case rates. In Teaneck, they're seeing hospitalizations drop. During the holiday season, the Holy Name Hospital saw waves of sick patients and staffing issues. New Yorkers flooded into online sports betting in the first weekend it was legal to do so in the state. Officials say DraftKings, FanDuel, Rush Street Interactive, and Caesars Sportsbook took in $150 million in wagers since online sports betting operations began in New York January 8th. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Knicks and Timberwolves at the Garden. Alec Burks took a three-point shot. The ball was in the air as the final buzzer sounded. It missed, and Minnesota won a wild one. 112-110. T-Wolves were up by 12 in the first half. Knicks then led by 9. A Karl Anthony Towns three-point play with 29 seconds left proved to be the game winner for Minnesota. Evan Fournier led the Knicks with 27 points. Julius Randle had 21. Kemba Walker, 19, in his return from a knee injury, but this homestand has started with 2 losses in 2 days. The Knicks are back under 500. Islanders and Flyers capped a home-and-home in Philly. The game was tied at 1, and then 2, and then 3. A KZ Kazika's tying goal for the Isles with 4.5 minutes left. They went to overtime and then the shootout where neither team could score. 17 consecutive misses in the ninth round. It was time for the Islanders. Oliver Wahlstrom.
Wahlstrom, in alone on Carter Hart, throws it down, shoots and scores! Wally has the winner in the bottom of the ninth! And the Islanders beat the Flyers by the final score of 4-3. What an ending!
Chris King, WEPN. Isles have now won 5 of 6 to reach 500. Flyers have lost 9 in a row. Rangers' first home game in over 2 weeks tonight against Toronto. Australian Open, second round victories for Rafael Nadal, Ash Barty, Naomi Osaka, all in straight sets. Giants have begun a second round of interviews for their general manager's job. These being conducted in person. Up first yesterday, Buffalo assistant GM Joe Schoen. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market now with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, we've been so focused this morning getting ready for bank earnings, but there is still a lot of movement for Activision after that Microsoft buyout news.
There absolutely is. You're seeing Activision, of course, up 0.3%. No match to what you saw yesterday with, of course, that over 40% rise. But important to keep in mind that Microsoft is coming back with a little bit of gains here. MSFT is your ticker there, up 0.6% this morning, largely hailed as a pretty good move when you look at what the analyst calls are, really helping them step into the gaming world. Activision, ATVI, like I said, is the ticker, up 0.3%, Nathan. But this morning's story is also, to your point, going to be about those bank earnings. A lot of them seeing some heavy volume, but actually flat right now, which tells you that there's a little bit of a tug of war ahead of some of these numbers. Bank of America is the one that comes to mind. BAC is the ticker. Those shares about flat right now. They were higher in the pre-market earlier. You also have Morgan Stanley due to report about up about 0.5%. S is your ticker. And, of course, J.P. Morgan is also flat in the pre-market. Once again, seeing some heavy volume, though, this coming after they raised their pay for junior bankers. Once again, in the last two pay raises, they would have gotten a 40% raise, Nathan. Really regretting not going into investment banking right now.
Aw, so sad. Well, we've already gotten some earnings outside of financials just this morning.
We have. It is, you know, all the focus is going to be on those banks, but you do have plenty of other earnings outside of banks. To your point, United Health is the one that caught my eye. UNH is the ticker, up 0.4% after it beat analyst estimates for its fourth quarter earnings and affirmed its 2022 profit outlook as the U.S. health conglomerate saw broad-based growth across its insurance and services businesses. That being said, you also got some analyst action this morning. Cisco Systems, CSCO, down 2%, getting downgraded to neutral from a buy over at Goldman as its stock approaches its price target, saying that the tailwinds and the headwinds are now balanced. That, of course, they are preferring Dell in terms of what their new long-term tech pick is, but nevertheless, CSCO down 2%. I'm going to end here with Netflix. NFLX down 0.2% after the price hike in the United States and Canada announced last week was larger than expected and implies only a 1% lift to the revenue forecast, that according to KeyBank. Nevertheless, down 0.2%, Nathan.
Now we're looking forward to Netflix earnings later on this week as well. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, thank you for the update. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, futures moving a bit higher after yesterday's losses. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 36, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 41 points. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32 now with a yield 1.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.05%. President Biden gets ready to wrap up year one. We'll look ahead to his afternoon news conference with Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, a mix of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-40s today. Overnight wintry mess. Temperatures will fall through tomorrow. By Friday, we'll have highs only in the low 20s, currently 33 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. And we go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trying to stabilize here with Dow futures currently higher by 838 points. S&P's gain 8.5. Well, the NASDAQ futures are higher by 50. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.88%. Gold is up 5. Oil trading higher. But Bitcoin is down by 1%. Japan fell 2.8% overnight, while European markets are mostly in the green this morning. But note that Britain's inflation rate has jumped to its highest level since 1992. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, December housing starts and building permits. Regarding earnings this morning, UNH beat estimates. Bank of America Q4 trading revenue ex-DVA did miss estimates and look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7:30. In other news, SoFi soared pre-market after it was granted conditional approval to become a U.S. bank. And Ford expects to report an $8.2 billion gain in the fourth quarter on its investment in Rivian. Wrapping things up, Akamai was raised to overweight at KeyBank, Ally Financial cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and Exxon was raised to sector perform over at RBC. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And, yeah, we're watching those Bank of America shares this morning down more than 4% in early trading. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Rudy Giuliani and two other lawyers who helped former President Donald Trump advance claims of fraud in the 2020 election have been subpoenaed by the House Committee investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Along with Giuliani, Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis were part of a legal team that spearheaded an attempt to overturn the election results. Airlines around the world are adjusting their schedules and aircraft deployments for flights to the U.S. over fears that a 5G rollout by AT&T and Verizon near American airports could interfere with key safety systems. In the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout against the Flyers 4-3. The Capitals won, the Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours
hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, which announced that renowned scholar and educational leader Dr. Tech Lim will join the university at NJIT as NJIT's ninth president. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The European Space Agency has narrowed the candidate list for its next generation of astronauts, including dozens who have a physical disability. The agency announced last year that it had received more than 22,000 applications. The agency says it has reduced these to fewer than 1,400. In the end, it'll have 4 to 6 positions on its astronaut training program. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson reportedly will announce the lifting of COVID restrictions in England today. That's according to the Financial Times. The paper says that work-from-home guidance and the use of COVID passes are expected to end. Meanwhile, the cabinet is set to consider the role of face masks in public places. And Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla has been awarded the Genesis Prize for his efforts in leading the development of a COVID-19 vaccine. The $1 million award is granted each year to a person for their professional achievements, contributions to humanity, and commitment to Jewish values. Bourla, the son of Holocaust survivors, plans to donate his prize to projects aimed at preserving the memory of Holocaust victims. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT's STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street as we continue to watch earnings headlines from Bank of America across the Bloomberg terminal. We're joined now by Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Analyst for Global Investment Banks, Allison Williams. Allison, good morning. As I take a quick look at these earnings, we did get a beat on earnings per share, but it looks like traders this morning are focused on the big miss on trading revenue.
Well, it looks to me like their trading did okay, and actually their fixed income trading outperformed what we've seen at some others, so I think that's a positive. But for Bank of America, really the most important things, well, the two most important things are loan growth and expenses because I think those are the things that we were looking for in this quarter. We did see a pickup in loan growth, so that's very good. We're looking for net interest income to improve, as are most investors this year, and so that's important. Net interest income coming in a little bit better. And then on the expense side of things, which I think is really the story of this season, earnings season, they're guiding to expenses that look about similar to this year. So that's a little bit higher than consensus expected, but certainly not to the degree that we saw at J.P. Morgan.
And as I look at the shares this morning, I think they had dropped as low as 4.3% in early trading, now giving back some of those losses down about 2%, starting to climb back up from there. When it comes to expenses and loan growth, Allison, what are you seeing from these numbers? What's the outlook for Bank of America?
I think, you know, the outlook is similar to the outlook for economic growth. So in general, they're benefiting from healthy consumers. They're benefiting from healthy businesses. The fact that we are seeing a little bit more borrowing is better. So in general, I think things are coming sort of in line with what investors may have hoped. As I said, the big story this earnings season has been expenses, and that's because we've already gotten a lot of these, you know, clues to the better revenue side. So we've already seen in the industry data loans improving. We've already looked at the rates market. We see that interest rates are expected to go up. Expenses were sort of the big question. And I think, you know, for banks, the expectation is that, you know, or the hope is that they're going to show operating leverage, which means that their revenue growth is going to outpace their expense growth. Bank of America is in a solid position for this because they are getting the help from interest rates. They're more interest rate sensitive, which means they benefit more from that increase. Loan growth is really going to add fuel to that. And then if they're able to keep expenses a little bit stable, their expenses were a little bit bloated last year. So it's not, you know, I think earlier in 2021, we might have hoped that expenses came down in 2022, but again, flat is nowhere near the increase that we're seeing. I suppose the question is, you know, are they able to spend on investments the way that some of these other investment banks are? Keep in mind that trading and fees are also part of their earnings outlook, but it's a much smaller part. And how are they competing on that front for talent?
All right. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Analyst Allison Williams, we'll let you get back to watching those headlines cross from Bank of America. The shares now down about 1.6% in early trading. And, of course, Morgan Stanley will wrap up bank earnings. Their results due out in a little bit more than a half hour. We're going to have full coverage for you here throughout the day on Bloomberg Radio. We want to turn now to what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden rounding out his first year in office with a formal news conference and Senate Democrats headed toward defeat on voting rights legislation. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins in our 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C., ahead of this 4 p.m. Wall Street time news conference. Emily, it could be a pivotal moment for President Biden.
Could be. He needs a pivotal moment right now. His ratings are at a low for his presidency. He has faced a lot of struggles within his last year, particularly within the last 6 months. And Nathan, this is the first press conference formally that Biden has given in about 10 months. So he's very much overdue for one. The goal for Biden today is to try to, as we heard yesterday from White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, for him to take a step back and kind of reevaluate the progress of his last year. I mean, certainly he can point to victories such as the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed, as well as, you know, starting the vaccine rollout. But he's been criticized lately on a number of fronts, including with the pandemic, for being caught flat-footed, for not having the number of tests that Americans needed over the holidays. Only now is his administration starting to get masks out. His plan, the social policy and tax plan, the so-called Build Back Better, that seems to be stalled. And today we're going to see the voting rights effort in the Senate. That is also going to be going down this week because they don't have the votes to change Senate rules.
Yeah, and this is something that looks like it could be yet another setback for President Biden politically. But there's been some talk, I think, in the Senate, Emily, about changing the filibuster rule, maybe making it a talking filibuster for voting rights. Could that go somewhere in our last 30 seconds here?
It doesn't look like it. Senator Kyrsten Sinema basically ixnayed out anything like that. There's definitely been some discussion. It seemed like a potential option at one point. But Senator Kyrsten Sinema has said she's not open to it, and they need all 50.
Yeah. All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us this morning from Washington, D.C., ahead of that formal news conference to round out President Biden's first year in office. It's scheduled for 4 p.m. Wall Street time from the White House. We will bring it to you live here on Bloomberg Radio. As we continue to watch shares of Bank of America in the pre-market, they're down 1.8% with a miss on fourth quarter trading revenue, while earnings per share did come in above Wall Street analyst estimates. And we're going to hear from Morgan Stanley, the last of the big six Wall Street banks to report earnings. Those are due out at 7:30 Wall Street time, just about a half hour from now. So keep it right here on Bloomberg Radio. For more coverage, Bloomberg Surveillance up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. Ahead of that, S&P futures are up 10 points, Dow futures up 51, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 57 points. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.